Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us each week on Vital Voices for the nation's most vital conversations, where insight meets impact. Today, we're going back to the basics to talk about back pain, something that affects people of all ages, but often isn't fully understood. Today, I'm joined by two expert U.S. board-certified and licensed doctors of physiotherapy, both from Oak Tree Medical Center, Dr. Kelly Cartwright-Miller and Dr. Virginia Chan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, we are here to talk about back pain, which is an interesting conversation. I feel like oftentimes people get, as you get older, you just get used to certain things and you're like, oh, you know, I have this little kink here, this little pain there. Mm-hmm. And you don't often necessarily think about A, all the things that might be contributing to that pain. B, especially if you get used to it and it's chronic, it's like, oh, it's just this little thing I have, right? And we don't necessarily consider, should we be addressing it, how we should address it. And obviously you have people who come into issues with back pain from injuries, accidents, things like that. So it's quite a wide array of angles you can kind of talk through this topic on. But I wanted to, you know, kind of go back to, like you said, back to the basics and give people a pretty straightforward understanding of some of the different components of how they may end up with back pain, how they can deal with it, that sort of thing. So let's start with you, Virginia. You know, what are some of the everyday habits or lifestyle factors that contribute to back pain, often without us even realizing it?
So many of us don't realize that repeated small habits have a big impact on our spine health, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, slouching at a desk, you know, we're sitting on one side versus the other, mm-hmm. carrying heavy bag, purses, you know, texting, screen time. A lot of these little things can have a big impact over time, mm-hmm. on our health, right? So literally you can have back pain without any specific injury. It's just repetitive injury, like little injury that you're experiencing. You might not have a sharp or direct, like I fell and mm-hmm. have some, you know, back issue from it, but more so that over time, you're just weakening the muscles in your spine, you're causing some discompression. So a lot of these things that you don't pay attention to actually can lead to back pain.
Yeah. It's funny when you mention the screen time one, because, mm-hmm. You know, I saw in doing research, because I saw a couple of videos where they talk about you get this little hump,
yeah.
in the back of your neck,
yeah.
because you're always like leaning, yep. down looking at, mm-hmm. the phone.
That's called text neck. They have a name for it now.
See, there you go. but yeah, so it's interesting because I think people often don't realize it's repetitive behaviors over and over is a big part of what leads to it. So, you know, let's think through some daily activities. Like you might lift groceries, you might lift water bottles, you know, how we sit when we drive in the car, how we slouch on the couch, all of these things. You know, how can something so simple, because we think about it and when you stop, you think it sounds like such a simple thing. Mm-hmm. But how do those little things lead to chronic pain, chronic issues?
So in terms of like bad posture, prolonged sitting, mm-hmm. you're sitting for a long period of time, especially if you're at a desk, if you're working, kids at school. If you look at how the spine is, it looks like a little S curve. Mm-hmm. If you are sitting in an incorrect posture, leaning on one side, leaning forward, mm-hmm. you can actually cause this compression on your disc, mm-hmm. right? Which is some cushioning that we have in between our spine that gives you, that takes pressures away.
Right.
Right. So if you are doing this over time, you can actually cause the disc to either bulge out or compress them and deteriorate them over time, like longer, quicker than normally aging process would be. Mm-hmm. In terms of lifting groceries, if you're lifting things that's incorrect, you know, they always teach you to lift with your legs, mm-hmm. versus, you know, carrying 20 bags of groceries on one side because you don't want to make two trips to the car, right? Yeah, right? Or like if you're just bending over instead of using your legs to squat down, mm-hmm. like doing things like that can actually cause a lot of discompression and strain your back.
Okay, so that's what it is. It's okay.
It's just forward bending, the pivoting. Or lifting and twisting.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's like anything else. You know, people say the definition of abuse is just you just using something in the wrong
over
way.
Over and over,
so
yeah.
I guess in this instance, if you're using your back in the wrong way over and over and over again, then it's going to lead to these issues.
It's like wear and tear. So you're not using your back or using something in a normal way.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to wear and tear quicker than if you were using it the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like doing the proper treatment for it or stretching, which we'll get into later
mm-hmm.
on. You know, I always tell my patients, it's like a hinge, like a door hinge.
Mm-hmm.
If there is something wrong with a door hinge, if one of the section is a little bit tighter and a little bit is looser, and you keep cranking on that in the wrong way or
mm-hmm.
wrong direction, eventually it's going to break
yeah.
or becomes too loose. Then you have to put some WD-40 in
mm-hmm.
it to kind of make it work again, right? So our joints are similar in that aspect.
Yeah, I got you. You know, one of the things I came across in preparing for this was all these different things that now come into play with sleep, right? So you see all these fancy mattresses, you see all of these body pillows and this contour, that and this, that and the third, double-sided bed. So if you prefer this or that, all of these different things, right? So obviously the marketing and the product space says that there's a component of this that has to do with sleep. So Kelly, from that standpoint, you know, what role does sleep position play? Is there actually a need for these litany of things like, you know, all these different types of mattresses and pillows and stuff like that?
So I would say sleep is definitely important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a PT, as a physiotherapist, one of the questions that we do ask our patients during the evaluation is, you know, is your back pain causing you to lose sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something that, you know, persons are having to do. If you are the perfect person and you get 6 to 8 hours of sleep as an adult, like this is something that you're doing for a long period of time. And so imagine how you would actually feel having to now wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep and in terms of you being able to sleep
mm-hmm.
and then what are you sleeping on?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the actual comfort of the bed,
mm-hmm.
and you not wanting the bed itself to be too soft, because imagine this fluffy marshmallowy pillow or bed
mm-hmm.
where you're sleeping in, and now you have to try to get up out of this bed. So it's as if you're now having to use extra energy and effort to come out of this bed that's
mm-hmm.
so soft. So although some bed companies do market, you know, the soft ones are the best.
It's
not,
it's like sleeping on a cloud.
Exactly. Sometimes that's not the best bed. So I would say those that are not too soft and not too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, sleep is, or making sure that whatever you are sleeping on is basically having the right curvature of your spine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a back sleeper, which is somewhat ideal, you want to make sure that you have a pillow or a cushion underneath your knee to help to basically promote that same S curvature spine that Dr. Chan spoke about. And if you are a side sleeper, then you want to sleep with a pillow or cushion between your legs.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's allowing you to have that nice curvature of the spine.
Yeah. Someone somewhere listening to this is going to be like, we're going to call it the Goldilocks mattress. It's nice to be just right, not too hot, not too soft. Another thing that I saw in another space that, because I, you know, as someone who exists in the marketing space, a lot of times it's like what I see just even in my day-to-day is kind of what piques my interest when we have a topic like this. So same thing. There's all of these Dr. Scholes and all these different things in terms of like feet inserts and, you know, same thing like memory foam, all of this sort of stuff. So again, this might not be something that people think of necessarily when they think about having potential like back issues and challenges, but what role do shoes, how does footwear affect our spine health, our back health?
Let me just say this. I'm so happy I'm in this field because it allows me to wear tennis almost all day. And I love it. Like I couldn't imagine having to be like an office girly
mm-hmm.
wearing heels or feeling obligated to wear heels
mm-hmm.
for an eight hour plus shift. My new persons may be sitting down for most of that time, but if you are, you know, having to go up and down or basically walking and standing for a long period of time, that can play a role not only in the back but also in your knees and your hips. So for me, I think the comfort of your shoes does play a very good role, making sure that you have enough cushion and support in your shoes. And for the record, this might be a bias, but I hate Crocs. Like, Crocs does not give you support at all. And it can actually start from, well, it starts from the ankle and it can go up. Like, one thing that we do as PTs, like, we don't just look at that one injury area. Like, for example, if you come in for a knee injury, a really good PT wouldn't just look at your knee, but would look at the ankle, like how your posture is, how you walk, how you stand. Are you having any limitations in your hip, in your back? So we have to assess the whole thing in order to correct the whole issue. Now, we would obviously not focus on the entire thing, but a reason why you may have knee pain could actually stem from the ankle. So you have to do a thorough assessment to actually look at the entire body to make sure that you're treating your client the best possible way. And it can stem from the ankle or the footwear.
What's so funny is my wife introduced me, and I always have to shout out because I'm so blessed to have a wife who's a doctor, because otherwise I probably would be living right now. but she introduced me to this concept of referred pain. Because, you know, she had a fall or tear there over the course of her life, like her lifetime. And it affected her in different ways. And she would say, like, you know, my knee is hurting, but I think it's my back. And then it's like, you do the back massage, and then, like, the pain in the knee eases up. And it's just like, in my layman's brain, I don't understand that. But at the same time, it got me to understand how these things can work, where it's like, you feel it in one area, but there might be something else going on somewhere else in the body that's actually impacting it, which is interesting. I find it fascinating because I've worked in and around hospital space. Like, so my wife is a physician. I know a lot of her friends in that space. This is a Crocs world. So for you guys to say that you hate Crocs, that's mind-boggling to me, because I know so many physicians. And just even everyday people, just they will wear Crocs to work. So you have all these different, like, stuff. You guys have the Crocs bashing episode, but the idea is that's really fascinating to hear.
I mean, if you look at a pair of Crocs, there's no support per se. It's very foamy. It's comfort on the sole part.
Right.
But you just slide your foot in. It's very wide.
Right.
There's no support. There's no support for your ankle. It's just a little strap on the back. So basically, you're almost wearing like a thick flip flop.
Right.
So imagine if you have to run or you have to walk pretty fast, you can trip and fall the shoe will fall. Mm-hmm. It's a high fall risk. It's not great for workspace environment. Kids wear it, but kids are a little bit more adaptable. It's easy to put on. You don't have to fuss and Velcro and tie the laces or whatever it is. It's easy to put them on and let's go. But how many times your kid probably lost a shoe here, or they can kick it off and fling it. When they're running, it's 100%. Gone.
Mm-hmm. It's funny too, because I 9 times out of 10 I don't actually have the back strap behind my ankle on the car.
Nobody wears it. So.
It's gonna be a lot of sad faces. but yeah, so let's look at another interesting area that again I think people don't often correlate with back pain, and that's stress. So this question I'll give both of you an opportunity to answer. You know, for a lot of people, stress may seem unrelated to physical pain. But how does stress tie into back pain from your perspective? So I'll let Bridget, you go first.
I mean, if you look at the research out there, there's also the scientific proof that stress does correlate to pain or exacerbate the pain that you have, right? Because it actually amplifies your pain perception because you're stressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's happening is that now you have pain. It might be a very low-level pain, but over time, the pain's not going away. Mm. It's stressing you out. You can't do your daily activities. You can't play with your kids. You can't sleep the way you want to sleep, like you talked about. You can't do a lot of things normally, quote unquote, that you could have done before. Now you have this extra level of stress, say, and then your mental status is not the best, right? You're getting sad about it. You're getting angry that it's still not going away.
Right.
And then that causes a cycle. So now a pain that normally may last couple of days, if it's like a muscle strain or you twisted your ankle, shouldn't that be very, you know, minor, because of this stress level now can now turn into a 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, what we call chronic pain, because it's a cycle, it's just never ending.
Yeah.
So stress can definitely play a huge role, whether it's from the pain itself or from work, from family, from whatever else that you're stressing about, mm-hmm. money situation, you know, anything of that sort, because now your brain and all these other chemicals that your body is releasing because yes. of stress mm-hmm. is exacerbating this pain level.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes a patient might tell you their pain is like maybe a 9 out of 10, but for you, you might, well, you just twisted your ankle a little bit. Mm-hmm. Why is it 9? It shouldn't be, I had a twisted ankle before. It was maybe like a 3. Mm-hmm. Why is it a 9 for you? But you don't know the backstory of this mm-hmm. patient and why, you know, he might have sprained because he was carrying, you know, his sick child, you know, right. running. It could be a lot of factors that play into it. So stress definitely is an important factor. And we usually ask patient if they are, you know, if they're stressed about anything in their lives, you ask them what the occupation is to see how it affects it. So we do ask these questions when it comes to our patient.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, Dr. Tran mentioned, you know, there's things that can be released in the body. And so with that, there's a stress hormone that's called cortisol. Mm-hmm. And so typically in like a fright or flight moment, like if something is where you may be in immediate danger, you would want to, you know, take off to save your life. Mm-hmm. So that would be an appropriate time for that stress hormone to be released. But someone with back pain and where stress is now tying into it, this cortisol could be released into your body and your bloodstream for a long period of time. And if it stays in your body and your blood for a long period of time, then this is when acute inflammation can turn into chronic inflammation. And then if you feel like, you know, you're constantly in pain, you may feel like you need to be on pain relievers. Mm-hmm. And pain relievers chronically can then wreak havoc into your body and can then bring about some other issues. So it could, you know, be a long cycle. Like something temporary can be can become permanent.
Right.
And also because it also depends on your mindset too. Like if you are someone who can't handle stress well, mm-hmm. or who has some other factors going on outside of this physical injury, it can mask something more, where, you know, a psychologist may actually need to intervene,
right.
depending on that person's ability to handle stress well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. You mentioned like even pain tolerance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even when you take stress out of the environment, some people they just have different pain tolerance. So
mm-hmm.
like you may twist your ankle and it may be a 3 with somebody else because they haven't experienced a lot of pain, or just because of
mm-hmm.
sensitivity or whatever the issue may be, their tolerance, they have the exact same injury and it might be an 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are things to consider as well, mm-hmm. I imagine. And then the stress thing, it's interesting because like you said, essentially you have something that could be a one-off. But when you have that sort of added factor to it, now it has the potential to be going from a moment by moment thing, and you know, one thing at a time, to you're constantly dealing with the same thing over and over again. So that's, like I said, I think that's interesting for people to understand how those things play together.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 24232 21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So, you know, let's start to look at signs and symptoms. So we can kind of give our listeners some idea of what they should look out for. And then they can kind of start to know, okay, where do I need to go for help? Because obviously it's like you have a lot of different methodologies for management and treatment. You have physio, you have, you know, surgery, you have painkillers, all these different things. So you want to give people some guidance on how to navigate this if they are experiencing, or if they think they're experiencing issues with their back or their spine. So, Kelly, what are the most common signs of back pain in kids, teens, adults, seniors, and how do they differ?
So with kids, you know, kids who are in primary school, I would say with them, as Virginia mentioned before, you know, that they're very resilient. So, you know, their pain or their injury may be very short-lived because their bodies can heal and adapt pretty quickly. So I feel like in regards to back pain, their pain may stem from them having like a heavy backpack. Mm-hmm. And it may be the case where, you know, it's just not so much education in terms of how to actually wear the backpack, you know, making sure the backpack is strapped on properly on both shoulders and that it's secured tightly and that it's not heavy. Mm-hmm. And then with teens, as the text neck generation. So, you know, that's where those preteens and teens, where they're on their cell phone usage or their laptops or computers playing games a lot. So you have that forward head posture, you have the upper neck pain, you have the upper back pain. So it's a spine pain because of constant looking down on your cell phone. And then with adults, so persons like us, you have the wear and tear of constantly having to sit down at a job or at your workstation for 8 hours plus. So you're not getting up frequently. So it's causing excessive compression of the spine, especially if someone at two is overweight or basically obese. That extra weight, you're already sitting down too much. So that can cause pain. And then you have incidents too where, you know, you may have a fall, you may be involved in a motor vehicle accident. So pain to the back in that regards as a result of a muscle spasms or muscle strain or even a fracture in the spine, depending on the severity of the accident. And then persons like the actual seniors. Now, this is where osteoarthritis comes in play in the back because, you know, they would have already lived their life for a number of years. And so it's just now, for most people, we find that persons who are 50 and over, they would experience, you know, this pain where they may not make it a big deal, especially for women. They may not make it a big deal, but it's still that knack that's been there. But it's the normal wear and tear where it's just aches and pains. And again, with a job that they may have had over the time, which was sedentary or them not working out or them having to not be as mobile. And those who are really elderly, who are prone to having a fracture because of a fall.
Right.
A fall, whether it's at the hip level or the back. Mm-hmm. So we've seen that for persons who are mainly 70 and older.
Yeah. I can tell you, I recently turned 40 and it's just like, oh, I just feel different. Like, the knees make noises that you didn't make before. It's like, you turn your neck a little bit too far and you're like, well, that's different. So yeah, it is interesting. It is that wear and tear. And, you know, I think for anyone who's listening, if you are a parent with like teens or young adults, or if you are happen to be listening and you're a teen yourself, you know, it's never too early to start trying to take care of your body in that way. Because if it's a wear and tear issue, the longer you treat your body well, the less likely it is that you're going to run into having these issues, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that people, and it's kind of come up through the conversation thus far, that people sometimes they get used to, so especially if it's built slowly over time. Mm-hmm. But it's just that little thing that you said, like just a little this little nag that I have, right? You know, how do we distinguish between normal discomfort and, like, you know, something like muscle soreness, or you just had a long day, or an actual warning signs that indicate, hey, you might need to require care?
So normal discomfort, it's kind of like a weird description, but if you had an injury, mm-hmm. if you had an accident, slip and fall, whatever the case may be, you right. should definitely seek help immediately.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. If you're talking about, like, after sitting for a while and your back is aching, or, you know, you were doing some yard work and you have mm-hmm. some soreness in your back, usually anything that will resolve, that's very short term, that mm-hmm. resolve with, let's say you go to sleep tonight and you wake up actually feeling a little better. If you stop doing the whatever it is that caused you the pain and the pain subsides, mm-hmm. or if you do a little bit of stretching, anything like something that's harmless and it's like, oh, it doesn't feel too bad. Usually your body, or you know your body. Mm-hmm. So you kind of know when something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
In terms for like kids or teens, they'll tell you, oh, you know, like something is not right. Like it's painful. Like it's not normal. They're not used to pain. So mm-hmm. every time they experience pain, it's abnormal. So that's when you seek help. Now, if you were to say, I have this pain, it's been nagging for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting progressively worse. It's, you mentioned, referred pain, right? If now your back was hurting, now my knee is hurting, or my mm-hmm. hip is hurting, then you start having these weird sensations. There is some numbness or tingling involved. There is some shooting pain. A lot of patients will say, oh, I got something that feels like electricity down my leg, or anything that's not a normal pain, quote-unquote pain, mm-hmm. You should definitely seek help, because it can be something a little bit more serious than just, you know, like a muscle strain. Like I say, if you pull a muscle, you know, like we said, we're getting older, sometimes you might bend over, tie a shoe, and oh, you know, you feel like you pull your back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that will subside with a little bit of rest, avoid the movement, mm-hmm. maybe do a little bit of gentle stretching, maybe I'll put some ice on it, you know, like that. It will go away. Rub some Bengay, you know, like you're okay. Sombra, you know, Biofreeze, you know. So if it goes away within like a day or two, it's usually okay. It's just a minor strain. But if it lingers, I would say go seek help.
Yeah, I told my wife, we can't have Bengay in our house until we're at least 60. You can't have Biofreeze or Sombra for that. You can't have that scent from, that's, it sounds bad to say, but that's the old people's scent, man. You know,
Sombra is a nice scent. We've been using Sombra.
Like I said, we've had our own share of like little, you know, falls, issues like that, you know, pull back here and there. And Sombra has definitely been helpful mm-hmm. for us in that vein. So, you know, going back to, I guess, thinking about back issues through the ages, you know, what are some practical age-appropriate ways to prevent back pain, you know, from childhood through our seniors?
I wish someone told me this when I was in the seventh grade, because, you know, you transitioned from sixth grade to seventh grade. You have mm-hmm. all these books.
Yep.
For all these different subjects. And we had lockers, but we still had to bring the books from home
mm-hmm.
to put them in our bags. And I remember vividly, because these books were so heavy, I got a rolling bag.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pulling this rolling bag, and it's on one side,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and in that case, that's where the benefit of the locker would be, and you're not carrying all of these bags at the same time, but all these books, sorry, at the same
right.
time. So it's just the important one. So what I would say, and that same thing came back to me recently, like I had to transition to a backpack to actually as my work bag.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that we could do for sure is if you, whatever your work bag is, you want it to be light, especially women, because mm-hmm. we feel like we have to put 5 to 10 pounds
mm-hmm.
worth of stuff in the bag, something that where we're preparing for something to happen, mm-hmm. you know, our first aid kit in there, everything in there.
Yeah, everything.
So like we need to cut that. So having a light bag, I would say having a bag that you could put on both straps to avoid straining one particular side,
mm-hmm.
because it's not only going to be your back, it's going to be the one side of your neck, your shoulder,
mm-hmm.
your back, your knee, everything. It's just being overworked. And we always have that favorite side too. So you always
mm-hmm.
putting it on that same side, and it's like wear and tear, you know, every time that's getting the brunt.
It's that repetitive motion.
Repetitive motion, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then basically you want to avoid having to lift things by yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like moving furniture around at work, lifting things. You want to avoid being superman or woman and lifting it by yourself. You all like always having assistance and then being able to bend with your knees, as Dr. Chan spoke about earlier, bending with your knees in a squatting position as you're lifting something off the floor instead of bending forward with your back. Because again, repetitively doing this over and over, it can cause strain. Mm-hmm. And then going back to PE, like I never knew the value of PE in high school until now, because after we graduate, we get too busy, or we feel like we get too busy to implement these things again, which is exercise. Mm-hmm. Like the reason why, you know, we tend to have pain as well as it's because of weakness. And if we're weak, it's because we're not exercising. So we have to now implement and make it a habit out of our busy schedule to take care of our body so that we can do these things. We can be the best client or the best entrepreneur, the best family man or woman, mm-hmm. If you are in shape, if you exercise. Because if you are in shape, it's less likely for you to get an injury of any sort. Or even if you do get an injury, you'll have a better prognosis.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, on both sides of the equation, in terms of how it develops and how you can avoid it, it's simple repetitive things, right? Mm-hmm. I do remember, I think I was probably graduating when rolly bikes really became like super popular.
Yeah.
Because like for most of my time in high school, it was riding a backpack. But then I think by the time I was in like 10th, 11th grade, I saw the 7th graders with their rolly bike.
That was me.
Interesting. And then obviously it kind of became, but I do remember over the years seeing different reports of people talking about how problematic the rolly bike, like it was just as bad as just carrying all of the books.
Yeah.
You know, on a large campus like SAC, it was like, we just took the bike because if you are at upper campus and your bike is at lower campus, you're not walking all the way down there.
Wow, good old SAC campus.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're on a larger school campus like that, even having the lockers doesn't always equate to being helpful because if you have to go all the way from one side of campus to the next again and go back, you're not necessarily going to do that, right? And the same thing, I think once a week, it's not necessarily enough either. When you think about it, like I look at in the primary schools now, I've seen like some of the primary schools you have PE twice a week, which is helpful because you're trying to get more exercise in, but I don't know if that carries into high school or not. But I do think even that, if we looked at, because you know, one of the things you want to think about is how do you affect change, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you do the work in the moment, but it's like how do you, on a policy, on a grander scale, how do you influence change to help people be better? Because we have a lot of people running around here with some serious back issues, you know, that could in some instances be prevented.
Right. Because I mean, at least in primary school, kids get break time, and usually what they do, they go out and run around and play.
Right.
So that's at least a little bit better, a 15, 20 minute break, you know, plus a PE time. Like it's a little bit more than what the high school kids get, because our break is literally just going from one class to the other class. And most of the time you mentioned backpack, you know, back in the day it wasn't cool to wear two straps on your backpack. You only just wear one anyway.
True.
And then
that backpack is sitting on your butt and it's not like on your back like it's supposed to be.
No.
And the girls are bringing tote bags. They're not bringing backpacks to school because that's not cute.
Isn't cool,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of these things. And I remember in SAC we were wearing little like heels, you know, with our school. I don't think we're allowed to, but we were wearing like little heels with our school uniform. Like it's a lot of things that we did as teenagers that we shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. But hopefully now that the kids will listen and try to, you know, make some modification to these type of things, especially if we have a lot of like kids athletes, they're student athletes, and they're not doing they're getting injured much earlier at younger age because they're not doing the proper, they're training very hard, but they're not doing the proper recovery for it.
Yeah.
So we've been seeing a lot of like teenagers coming in with injuries.
Yeah. That's interesting. You know, we talked about obviously things like posture, things like heavy school bags, screen time. Are there any other considerations, any other things parents should be on the lookout for in terms of signs of potential issues with their kids?
So when we spoke about like the student athletes, they, a lot of them, if they're in the real competitive like athlete world space, right, they are, they don't want to tell their parents or their coach when something doesn't feel right, right? They want to play through the pain. Right. They think it's, you know, they're supposed to. They're looking at the LeBron James and the football players and, you know, Shanae, like all the track athletes. They want to push themselves to be the next one, to get that scholarship in that space. So, you know, besides of the backpack and whatnot, for these student athletes, we have to look out for the way they're training. Mm-hmm. Are they overtraining? Do they have the proper recovery? Do they have proper equipment?
Yeah.
You know, listen to your kids when they're telling you that, you know, something doesn't feel right. Or maybe have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
You know, that might be the best way, because a lot of times either they're on the spectrum. Either they are really competitive and they want to keep pushing, or they kind of like in that, eh, I don't really want to do anything, so any little pain, they're just like, I'm done. I don't want to work. So those are the things that you kind of want to look out for in terms of like the teens and, and preteens.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting too what people don't consider when they look at a lot of these athletes. Like, I remember like LeBron has a hyperbaric chamber, right? That he goes in like after
every day.
Games on, like, and he has a portable one that he travels with him. So even if he's not, you know, in a home, if it's on a home game, he still has it. So when you start to think about that, you obviously you always see athletes in like the ice baths after games, things like that. There's all of these different things that exist, but if we don't have those sorts of facilities and offerings available, then you have to be really considerate about, okay, what are the ways we are going through a proper recovery process? What can be done in order to be protective?
Right.
Because, you know, there's that double-edged sword, right? You want to, you know, be somebody like a Jazz Chisholm or a Vijay Edge who just got drafted,
correct,
but you have to be able to be on the court to do that. So it's that balance of how much do I push myself to the point where I potentially wreck any chance of that because I'm not physically capable anymore.
Correct.
Versus I don't want to look like I can't push through pain. It's an interesting dynamic to play, especially as, you know, as a nation, you're getting so much more engaged in our young people being able to go off and get into professional leagues. It's becoming more and more of a thing for people to consider. So that is an interesting component to it, you know, nowadays.
Yeah, it's all about education, right? As long as they have education,
as
they know, the kid know, the coach know, the parents know, that you might not have the facility, but if you have the education, knowledge, like, okay, you know what? I should probably be stretching. I might need to ice. I might need to go take a break today instead of working 7 days a week. You know, like, I think it's more like these little things as compared to like the overall, you know?
So let's go back. And let's talk about the workplace. I think we kind of ran through the kids a decent amount. So what are some of the most common causes of back pain in working adults? I know we talked about the purses for women. We talked about, depending on if you have a job where you're standing up a lot, you know, in heels, things like that. But what else exists in that space that we should be concerned about?
Most of the 9-to-5 desk job is prolonged sitting. Incorrect workspace setup, like ergonomics. So those usually are the main contribution to back pain, especially leading to chronic back pain. And then, you know, you also have stress-related, as we talked about earlier. So those are usually the number top is prolonged sitting, prolonged positioning, incorrect setup of workspace.
I feel like a lot of the corporate environments nowadays are investing in things like ergonomic chairs and things like that.
But
what else can be done? Because I know, you know, people say, oh, you know, you get one of those, the bike pedals under the desk and things like that. You know, what would you recommend for, you know, beyond what people may automatically think about, like the ergonomic chairs, the ergonomic, like, mouse pads, things like that, that help to build a more back-friendly work environment?
I would suggest, so the ergonomic chairs are great. Setting up your screen to be eye level so you're not twisting, bending, or lifting up your neck. Having your feet flat on the ground when you're sitting and not sitting like the way I am right now, which is with your legs crossed and slouching, right? And you pull all the way up to the desk. But what we find is over time, I have a lot of patients that they have the perfect setup. They have the ergonomic chair. But what they tend to do is because they're sitting there for such a long time, they start to lean forward. They're not all the way to the back of the chair like they're supposed to, right? So they are literally just scooting forward, and they're still hunched over in this curved, weird posture. So we would sometimes suggest, like, okay, take a break. Mm-hmm. Like, just change position, take a break, go get some water, and then come back and go back into the position that you would like to be in. Mm-hmm. Bring a pillow or cushion or towel, whatever the case might be, trying to fill up that void or that space. Because if you're a little, if you're shorter, you can't sit all the way back to the chair and your feet to touch the ground. So something has to give.
True.
Or if you're too tall, right? You're sitting all the way up, but your knees are kind of like high up. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of find that balance, because the chair is a generic chair. Mm-hmm. It's not made for every body right. type. Everyone has different body type. So you kind of have to kind of use some external, you know, forces to kind of make it work for you. Mm-hmm. So there are some adjustments that you can do. Very simple, like I said, just putting a pillow behind your back, feet on the ground, taking breaks. Those little changes will make a big difference.
Yeah. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 242-322-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete. Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So let's talk about where physio comes into play in this conversation, right? What is the role of physiotherapy in back pain management, and when should someone consider seeing a physiotherapist?
So the cool thing about what physiotherapists do is that, so we actually specialize in pain management from a musculoskeletal point. So in terms of muscles, bones, etc. And then we also are able to prescribe specific and customized exercises for you based on whatever we would have found in our evaluation and assessment of your body. So let's just say you are here for your first time having the evaluation done, and I'm looking at you, and as I'm looking at your hip joint or your spine, and I notice that, you know, you're not able to bend down, or you don't have enough range of motion when you're bending forward, you're bending back side to side. So that's an indication that, you know, one reason why you do have pain is because you're lacking range of motion, because something is tight. Whether it's the muscles in the back or the hamstrings, or whether it is you actually have decreased mobility in your spine, in the joint itself. So those are things that we look at. And then in terms of PT, where, so I guess how you would basically need to come to us is that if you do have an injury, or you had a fall, or you're noticing that this nagging pain is still there, or perhaps it's actually getting worse. Mm-hmm. So this is where you would actually need to seek your doctor, because first you have to see a medical doctor, mm-hmm. and let them know that this pain is still there, and then they would have to then prescribe you to have PT done, and then we would basically assess it, because more than likely where there is pain too, that, as I said before, it's a result of some weakness in that joint, in the spine, etc.
So I cannot just walk in and say my back been hurting for the last 3 days and that I need a physio? No.
In the Bahamas, no.
Not okay. In the Bahamas, unfortunately. Right. In Florida, you can.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Right, because you're doctors. All right, fair enough. I'm not going to push that further.
That's a different podcast.
Different.
So what can someone expect during a typical physio session? Because I've seen like physio spaces and there's all kind of different gadgets and setups and things like that. What is it that people can expect if they came in for a physio visit?
So during the first session, as I said before, it's the actual history or the evaluation. So we would ask you a few questions first to find out what happened or was there something that happened. We would ask, what your previous medical history was, if you had any past surgeries, if you're on any medications, supplements. What's your work environment like? How are you sleeping? What are your hobbies? And what's your rehab goals? We always want to ask what your rehab goals are to make sure that you are, and I, as your physiotherapists, are on the same page and we can both accomplish these goals together. Because I find too a lot of people would tie in basically how they want to lose weight as well. That can happen as you are exercising, but the main thing would be me trying to rehabilitate you back to your previous functional mobility.
Right. And that's an interesting thing to point out, because having aligned expectations between a physician and a patient, I imagine, is very important. Mm-hmm. Because if they're coming in thinking, well, this is the goal that I have in mind, but perhaps it's not a realistic goal for what it is they're actually dealing with, that can then lead to a lot of challenges, even as you navigate the relationship and as they look at it in the aftermath, right? So that's good to point out that, it gives you, as a physician, an opportunity to kind of work with them through, okay, this is like a reasonable expectation and this is how we can work towards it. Because you're in partnership, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just saying, oh, we'll do this. You're working through all of this together.
Right.
So, let's look at the alternative space. Because obviously there's a lot of different things that you can be slapped somewhere on the back. It's not necessarily alternative, but it's me not coming into the doctor or seeing physiotherapist, right? But are there any alternative approaches, complementary practices? I think you mentioned stretching before. Obviously, people might think of massages. But what exists in that space that you would recommend, in addition to physio or alongside physio?
I am an avid believer of, trying different things.
Okay.
I'm always saying, surgery will always be the last option, will always be the last resort. So as long as something isn't harmful, then you would want to try it, especially if you find that, physiotherapy, if it's been 5 or 6 sessions so far and your pain isn't really, it's not decreasing the way that I would like it to, or we both would like it to, then we can go and try different avenues. And that can be massage. Like I'm an avid believer in massage, especially if during my assessment, I'm feeling your muscles and they're super tight, or there's obvious muscle spasms, like I can't really touch you because even just a light touch, you're having that, like you're very sensitive because it's so painful. So that's already an indication to me that you might need massage first before you can even come to me in terms of exercise. And then you have other modalities like cryotherapy, and you have aquatherapy, which is water therapy. So you even going out for a swim, whether it's the pool or a very calm beach day, you walking in the water, going to a chiropractor. I do subscribe to it. Someone who is very knowledgeable in it, because I've had 2 different experiences. One who I would not recommend, and one who I would.
Yeah.
So I do believe in other methods, not just physiotherapy. I also believe in pain medication in the very acute phase, and for not someone becoming dependent on it, because that's where it can become a problem. And that's where I do have a problem in pain medication.
Yeah. As someone who's watched someone go through getting chiropractic done, it's very interesting to stand. I'm like, I'm never doing that. You hear things crack, but at the same time, I found it to be very helpful, mm-hmm. right? So I know there's a gentleman who's very knowledgeable, is very good at what he does in that space. What about acupuncture?
I haven't had it done, but I am a believer. Listen, if it could get rid of the pain or even cause you to have more comfort without having you to go underneath the knife, I'm all for it.
Right.
And I've heard testimonies of some persons who may have had even like chronic neck pain, which would have caused headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone having that acupuncture done and chiropractor for sure, and it would have gotten rid of it. So yes, definitely.
So there are physios that are licensed to do, we don't call it acupuncture, mm-hmm. because only acupuncturists can do acupuncture.
Right.
But we do something similar called dry needling, mm-hmm. which is using acupuncture needles to target those muscle
right.
and bone. So I actually do that as well. So I've been trying to start it at Oak Tree, so I'm getting the equipment to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But it does work very well. Like she said, it complements.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever doesn't make it worse or harm you,
right.
we say go try it. Because what works for you might not work for her,
right.
but it'll work for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all try to, we have a lot of tricks in our bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to try every trick that we have until it's not working. That we know that, you know what, let's go ahead and seek
yeah.
other avenues. Because
yes.
clearly it's not working. Because like I said, there are some physio that do manipulation, which
yes.
is you like chiropractic where they manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's some physios who also train in that. I don't usually manipulate the neck. I don't like to mess with the neck. I'll leave that for the chiro.
Yes.
I will manipulate a joint,
right.
a hip joint, knee joint, an ankle joint. I'll
mm-hmm.
manipulate your lower back.
Right.
But mm-hmm. when it comes to neck, I try to stay away from, even though you train in it, but you're not comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But whatever
mm-hmm.
works for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is a good point to ask too about myths and misconceptions, because I imagine there are a ton out there in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the biggest myths and misconceptions that you have encountered of, you know, that people have about treating back pain?
In terms of myths, I think the biggest one, I think Kelly probably agree with this, is that bed rest,
mm-hmm.
right?
I
when you have when you have bed rest, like anything that's you're injured, just stay in bed, don't move. Even back in the day when you have surgery,
mm-hmm.
the surgeon tells you, you got to lay in bed, you don't move.
Right.
And the research have shown that actually prolonged bed rest makes the situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to move.
Yeah.
So you need to definitely get up and move, because when you're laying in your bed, if you're not feeling well, you sleep in your bed for at least a day or two. By the second, you can't even lay there for more than a day, because you're going to be achy and painful when
yeah.
you get
yes.
up. You're stiff. You actually feels worse.
Yeah.
So that is one of the myths that we try to tell patients, like, no, you need to move. You need
mm-hmm.
to get up and
yes.
move. Even if it's just changing position, sit up versus lying down on your back, rolling to a side if you really are so painful that you can't move. So we try to get that misconception that resting in bed
mm-hmm.
is the best source of recovery.
Yeah. I my wife, after one of the sections, I remember when her OB came back and he met her like in the hallway walking,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "What are you doing?" She was like, "I'm trying to stay there, like, you know." He's like, "I'm feeling good enough to try and walk. I'm walking." So that was something too that, you know, I think that's a really big one, because
mm-hmm.
I think people still have it. I think people
yep.
still
yes.
in
yes.
the layman space, you still sit back and you're like, "Oh, I'm just gonna rest. I'm gonna lay down. I'm gonna wake up tomorrow, and it's just gonna be gone."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not necessarily the way it's for, especially mm-hmm. if it's prolonged and you lay down day after day after day.
Correct.
But that is, I know for me personally, I've learned that from, you know, I put my back once or twice, and I realized the first time it happened, I just kind of lay there, and my wife was like, "You need to get up. Like, it hurts." She's like, "But you have to try and like move it and get it to kind of loosen up and things like that, you know." And when it happened the second time, I did that from jump, because I realized, no, I'm not gonna sit down and make it worse. I just had like wallowing in it and not moving. So that, I think that's very helpful for people to hear that, because I think that misconception still does exist,
mm-hmm.
that I just need to go and lay down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What role does imaging play? Because I think, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, people need a referral to come and see you guys.
Yes.
But do you have to have imaging involved before someone is able to engage with a physiotherapist for treatment management of back issues?
It is not absolutely required. So okay. we don't need it. Now, I will say this. Once you come in, because a lot of people that I do see, they don't have any x-rays done, any CT scans or any MRIs, because it may legit just be like a muscle strain.
Mm-hmm.
It may just be where that muscle was weak. And so after, you know, a certain number of sessions, I would expect to see you getting stronger, your pain is lessening
mm-hmm.
after 5 or 6 sessions. Now, if it is a case where you came in and you are basically reporting constant pain, like nothing is making it better, nothing is making it worse, you're having night sweats, you have loss of appetite, you have weight loss, like those are red flags that we tend to look out for, especially during the evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would warrant me to want you to get an MRI like as soon as possible, because that could be something more serious, especially mm-hmm. if you're always in pain, nothing that you're doing is working, on pain medications also is not working. So
right.
That might be something beyond my scope of practice, and I would, in that case, it's not working. Or you may not have these red flags, and you may have had a course of 6 to 8 sessions, and you've only had a very little improvement. Then I would warrant you, before you even starting more sessions, I would warrant you to still have an MRI done, because it mm-hmm. may be something where, you know, it may have been a severe bulging disc, it may be some severe nerve compression where, you know, surgery may actually be warranted.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the thing, is knowing when you kind of hit the limit and you need to move into a different sphere of treatment and management.
Yes.
This has been a great conversation. I have one question I want to ask you both as we wrap up. You know, what would be just one quick practical tip for our listeners, regardless of age, that they can start today to better protect their back? So you can start with you and then end with our Virginia.
Is it just one tip?
It's what you can get in a minute.
Okay, I would say for sure to bend with your knees. If you're lifting something off of the floor, bend with your knees and not your back. Always get help from someone else, especially if it's something heavy that you're lifting, get someone else to help you. If you're working at a desk, get up. If you have to set your alarm for every 30 minutes, get up, go to the bathroom, have a water break. Don't just stay sitting down, and then get moving.
So Kelly basically just gave like 4 tips, and so she just took one of mine. But yes, moving is great. Like, I think everyone should get into some sort of activity, something that can de-stress,
mm-hmm.
right? So I always tell patients, if you are in a busy environment or even with kids, find at least 30 minutes on each day just to do something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just taking a hot, like a bath,
mm-hmm.
or taking a bubble bath, go reading a book, go ride a bicycle, go
yeah.
to the gym, whatever it is that you find joy in doing, every single day for 30 minutes, just do something to be for yourself.
Yes,
that will be a great, it de-stresses you, which will help in overall well-being, not
mm-hmm.
just in your low back pain.
Okay. Awesome. I think that's great. And obviously the last and most obvious one, how can people get in contact with you if they needed to access physiotherapy here at Oak Tree Medical Center?
So we're located at the specialty clinic, Oak Tree Specialty Clinic on Collins Avenue. That is right on the side of 17 Shop, and it's right on the corner of Collins Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
How you can reach us is call us at 802-9951 or 322-1145. And again, you need a physical therapy referral from your family doctor first before you can come and see us.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much both for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I think it's going to be a very helpful conversation for our listeners. And you know, I know that it's taken some work to get us to the point of actually recording, so thank you again. You've been at this for a couple of weeks well, but I appreciate your time and mm-hmm. your information.
Thank you.
All right, so thanks again to Dr. Kelly Cartwright-Miller, Dr. Virginia Chan, for shedding light on a topic that affects so many yet is often misunderstood. The insights today reminded us that back pain isn't just about the spine, it's about the way we live, move, rest, and care for ourselves at every stage of life. Whether you're a parent concerned about your child's posture, a professional navigating long hours at a desk, or a senior seeking more ease and mobility, today's episode offers practical, preventative, and empowering strategies that anyone can start applying today. We hope this conversation inspires you to pay attention to what your body is telling you and to seek help early, because back pain doesn't have to be a life sentence. There is help, there is healing, and it often starts with education, awareness, and the right support. Thank you for joining us each week on Vital Voices for the nation's most vital conversations with insights, impact, and until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.